Hello, everyone. What a pleasure it is to be back with you here in the Empty Bowl. This is a show about cereal and relaxation in equal measure. And we're so grateful that you've taken this time to sit with us and relax and breathe. And for the next half hour or however long it ends up being, just to think about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal aficionado.
My name is Dan Goubert, and I guess I'm striving to be a cereal monk of sorts with this podcast. It's really changing the way I see it. I don't want to just be sort of this roadside charlatan preaching the ways of cereal. You really have to become sort of one with it. And I think that's what we're trying to do a little bit here.
Now, Dan, I noticed that on the website that you run, cerealously.net, you've changed the pointer to an adorable little spoon.
Honestly, I've been running this blog for like 4 years now, and that's like the most significant change to my user interface I've made in this entire time. But I think it was really all building towards this moment. I think everybody should check it out.
It is extremely significant, though, Dan.
It seems that adding that has sort of crashed my site's mobile compatibility, but while I sort that one out, you will at least have a great time.
Worth it. Now, on this show, besides providing you a safe space to relax and not get too stressed out for like a second, we're giving you news about cereal, reviews. We're going to have a new interactive segment where we're going to hear from you, our beloved listeners, and we've got a special little discussion planned for the end of the show, as we always do. But first up, Dan, let's get into some cereal news. It seems like it's been coming hot and heavy.
I know. It's traditionally January's that super hot year, and then we kind of ride that wave into Christmas pretty much, but summer is striking back this time around, and we're noticing some pretty common undercurrents of two very relaxing things, and I guess that would be Oreo flavor and pillow-shaped cereal. Mm. Maybe the cereal companies have realized that when you boil down the spirit of relaxation, that's what it looks like as sort of a universal symbol, as pillows and Oreos. But probably the best icon of that new cereal philosophy is Mega Stuff Oreo-O's that are coming to Walmart as we speak.
Amazing.
I mean, as soon as Oreo-O's came back, I kind of discredited it because if you remember, original Oreos, yes, did come without marshmallows, which is what Mega Stuff is, by the way. It's just adding marshmallows, which on the surface may seem like a small thing, but like I was saying, the original Oreos did look like this, but in 2002, they launched the Extreme Cream Oreos, which had marshmallows, and I think that's how most people remember it now, and it's kind of the director's cut of Oreos in a way, and that is what I see as true perfection for this cereal, just as they have it in South Korea as well. So I'm very excited about this news, even though it may seem a little small of an addition to Oreos when they could do so much else.
I think it's a nice textural shakeup for a cereal like that. I think in 2019, if your cereal just has one texture, you're just begging for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the golden Oreos that came out last year were kind of a disappointment, so I'm really hoping for a rocket ship boost back up in reception so that perhaps we can have mint Oreos or peanut butter or perhaps the most stuff.
Now, in the last
episode, double marshmallows.
There's no shortage of Oreo inspiration to draw from. in the last episode, we talked about Philo's, release of Philo's. We've got a review of those coming up later in the show. But you spotted some other pillowy cereal coming our way.
Yeah, and seemingly like a direct clapback, Kellogg's is launching a new Pop-Tart cereal. If you'll recall, they came out with the first new Pop-Tart cereals ever since sort of the 90s version and then the failed 2013 prototype. We got strawberry and brown sugar cinnamon, and now they're following up on that with another fan-favorite Pop-Tart, which is the cookies and cream Pop-Tart cereal. I had the weirdest brain fart when I was writing about this. I saw the picture, I saw the colors, I saw the pieces, and I uploaded the picture on my blog and wrote the entire article thinking it was Crave. And then wow. I posted it and somebody left a comment that kind of looks like Pop-Tart cereal based on the photo. And I looked back at it, and it was probably the biggest crushing moment in my chest I've had.
Isn't that
writing
weird
this blog?
How my brain can just do that sometimes. Like, I'm done getting input. I'm just going to do my own thing.
Well, Kellogg's is the one who chose to make Pop-Tart cereal look so much like Crave in the first place. So I kind of claim some sort of reasoning there, especially as we go on to what else is new today. But to sum up the cookies and cream Pop-Tart cereal, it's got, like, again, the Crave-like shell, but studded with little chocolate chips and little, like, sugar dustings. And the inside is sort of a two-toned striped, where half is the Oreo cream, hopefully translated successfully into a microscopic structure, alongside the chocolate, of course. So it is a pretty complex and layered thing. It didn't really work out for Crave when they did the s'mores that had the two-toned striping, but I'm going to hold out hope here. Spoiler alert, Philo's did a pretty good showing with cookies and cream, so it might be hard to stack up.
No one does a good s'mores flavor when they leave out the caramelization aspect that you get in an actual s'more. That's such a huge part of it. And so many people ignore that to just deliver like a graham marshmallow chocolate kind of thing.
So are there any s'more cereals that you think have done it right?
I don't think so. I mean, like, I think s'mores with a Z is probably the biggest miss in the batch. I mean, they're all pretty unimpressive, though.
I was going to say how much I like s'mores. I thought that's where you were going
with that.
I
don't think it's a bad cereal, for sure. I just don't think it tastes anything like a s'more itself. I think it's a poor simulacra of a s'more.
That's fair. I probably only liked it because those are the most pillowy pieces of all time, and it's really on my mind right now.
Any other pillowy cereals?
Oh yes. Speaking of Crave, this might be the reason for my Freudian slip, is that there are two new Crave flavors coming as well. We have Strawberry Crunch Crave and Cinnamon Crunch Crave. This is a very bold departure from the Crave model of only really focusing on the sort of chocolatey and the richer, more decadent sweetnesses, not really giving way to fruity or, you know, cinnamon spice, but at first, when you hear Strawberry Crunch, I thought this was really going to please you because you want Hidden Treasures back so bad.
Absolutely.
But I'm sad to report that the fruit isn't inside, it's only dusted onto the outside, and we still have the same chocolate inside both of these.
So strange.
Right. And I think we can agree that the Pop-Tart Strawberry cereal really didn't do the legacy justice either.
No, although I will say I'm excited about the cinnamon chocolate combo. It's a nice combo.
Have we ever established whether you're in the vehemently pro-Crave or sort of the Crave doubters club?
I like Crave. I don't feel like it's a particularly, like, it's not one of those I want to return to repeatedly. I think it is. I don't find it objectionable, though. I don't understand the detractors, honestly.
That's
I
true.
I will say something that irritates me, and this is maybe I don't mean to get us on a sidebar. We have so much to do this episode. I am so irritated. It seems like every new cereal that comes out these days only comes in a gigantic family size box.
It's true.
And so often I just want to taste it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that much cereal and I just want to taste it. But it almost without exception, every new cereal is in these massive, like, cartoonish boxes.
You know, I think as you were saying that, I'm starting to understand more the sort of the grandmaster war strategy of the cereal world, which is to let Walmart have all your exclusive flavors and let them put it in these giant boxes.
Yeah.
While at the same time, for the people who really just want a small sample, you open up these high-end cereal cafes and these cereal interactive experiences and sort of the cereal roadside museums, as they seem to be doing. And really just charge top dollar for a sample and, you know, charge even less for the big commitment.
I think maybe there's a mental game going on here where if I have this box in my home for so long, eventually I'll think, well, I must like this. I've had it for a very long time. any other new cereals coming down the pike?
Oh, man. I thought we had a modest news day today, and then I had to add this one last minute today because Today is when someone first spotted in the wild and later corroborated on the Post website that Post subsidiary Malto Meal, who they bought a couple years back, has two new cookie cereals. The first is Snickerdoodle Cookie Bites, and it's eerily similar to anyone who may remember the Snickerdoodle cookies from this past Christmas. This is when I'm really glad.
Is that not Aldi exclusive?
Yeah, it was Millville brand, right. And of course that'll never escape my memory because the following day I had to do this super complicated research to find out who Millville is really owned by, and it turned out to be Malto Meal, who is also owned by Post. So it makes sense that this is probably that exact same Snickerdoodle cookie cereal, yeah. In a bigger bag and made, available in the mainstream, which I think will be wonderful come Christmas season, which appears to be starting in early June this time.
Yeah, the first Hallmark movies are coming out in July. First Hallmark Christmas movies of the year. Yeah, this July.
Yeah, I mean, Snickerdoodle can kind of be a timeless flavor, though.
Sure,
I could go for a Snicker and a Doodle perhaps any time of the week.
Anything else in news?
The one last one from Malto Meal would be their latest collaboration with Cold Stone Creamery. If you remember again, last year they released a birthday cake remix, which was pretty lame, and also a Our Strawberry Blonde, which I think we both agreed was one of the best cereals of last year.
Yeah, it was lovely.
So Cold Stone Creamery is rolling into this next one with sort of a 50-50 record, but it sounds pretty good. It is an adaptation of the Cold Stone flavor Cookie Don't You Want Some, which I had to do some research. I'm not sort of a Cold Stone crusader, but these have fudge and caramel and vanilla ice cream and, of course, the cookie dough. But in this case, it appears to have turned in just sort of various spheres of different shades of brown cereal mixed in with marshmallows. So I have to give this one the benefit of the doubt without knowing much of anything about it. I'm really hoping they do better than just a Cookie Crisp knockoff and really include those eggy or doughy, buttery nuances.
Hmm. Interesting. Anything else?
I'll do a couple more lightning rounds with you like we did last time, because
absolutely.
These are just two new cereal desserts that are appearing at both domestic and national chains. So for all us Americans, you can get at Hardee's a new Fruit Loop Mini Donuts milkshake, which really compounds the levels of cereal abstraction.
It's wild. I mean, it's wild because they turned the Fruit Loops into mini donuts, and now they're putting them into a milkshake.
What are they going to do with the milkshake next is the question that I have.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Maybe you just put that back into sort of a cereal mold and make rings out of it.
I want to say, I think Burger King did a Fruit Loops milkshake already, right?
They did. It was probably 2 years ago now, but it was so good. The cereal shakes at Burger King are top-notch, but I mean, they don't have donuts in them, so it's kind of a no-brainer. Just in overseas news also, at McDonald's Germany, for anyone who happens to be listening to this show from Germany, you can get a unicorn Fruit Loop flurry. So I guess both of the desserts I didn't really realize are just, Fruit Loops flying around the world.
Yeah, they're on tour. I'm really excited about reviews this week, Dan, because we get to talk about Philo's.
Yes. You've tried them, right?
I tried the cinnamon bun flavor of Philo's.
Okay,
that is usually my... I thought of the two, that would be the one that I preferred.
Sure. So it's the Pillsbury cinnamon roll, and sure. What did you think of it?
You know what, Dan? I found it... I've never said this before about a cereal. I'm not one of these people. I think anybody who likes cereal likes sweet, right? You like a sweet taste. I think Pillsbury cinnamon roll Philo's are, I would describe them as abusively sweet. It is a painfully sweet cereal that I found honestly like too cloying to eat. I think you might touch on this in the review. I think dry, it's actually quite tasty. Once you introduce milk, the sweetness from the cream starts to get into the milk, And I just found like eating repeated bites of it like extremely painful. I ended up making a kind of a praline snack mix with this and some pecans and like a brown butter toffee sort of like snack with some chili powder and sea salt, stuff like that, to make like a snack mix, something to cut the really truly egregious sweetness of these Philos. So that was my take on it. I might have liked the chocolate more. I think maybe the chocolate would have perhaps the cocoa flavor would have cut the sweetness, but for me, I just really, really painful sweet.
You know, I'm thinking you might not like the Hershey's cookies and cream one then, because that was the one that I preferred, and I almost like the fact that it's so sweet that I can feel it. I mean, my stomach is sort of still, and it's salad days of eating very unsalad-like things, but but even these hit me sort of like mini asteroids. They're just really heavy, I think is what I noticed, probably more so than the sweetness. These are very, very dense.
Yes.
They don't have sort of the piddly crave splatter of chocolate on the inside. They are filled with real, like, gooey buttercream in a sense. And
yeah, that really is, that's a great comparison, because like the cereal pieces are actually really good, I thought. They almost reminded me, what, without quite this level of hardiness, of like the Quaker Oat Square cereal, which I really like, but inside it is like frosting. I mean, it's like straight up an injection of cake frosting.
Did you ever have the Nature Valley baked oat bites when they were out?
I don't think so.
They were literally just crackling oat bran that was iced, and I feel like in the cinnamon roll flavors perspective, if you sort of just mashed one of the baked oat bites up into a little bit of squares, you'd get that same density. So, oh, but the cookies and cream one, sorry, I left out that the reason I was so passive about the Oreo O's news earlier is that these Philos taste exactly like the South Korean Oreo O's, and that is why they are so close to my heart. They're very fudgy, and they have that, you know, more almost tangier marshmallow snap in a way with the filling.
I'll have to give it a shot.
So this is a little bit different. This is the Crunch Cup. Have you heard of this at all?
I have not. I don't think.
So this is another one that people who have been on my blog have maybe been served an ad for. It's billing itself as the new wave mobile cereal solution, because apparently science and its many accomplishments has left out a convenient way to eat cereal on the go, and that's what this product is trying to remedy. And they thankfully gave me a sample, and it's an interesting thing that I think has some obvious improvements, because it's basically like a tumbler or a water bottle that has an additional cup inside that's attached only to sort of a slitted drinking opening. And so when you drink, you get all of the cereal coming through and just a little bit of the milk that you can adjust like the rate of flow, which I thought was pretty creative. So you can sort of, if you're a real milk lover of a person, you can kind of just, you know, waterfall it in without any fail. Or you can restrict it for the modest cereal tastes of the modern office worker. But overall, I think the one thing I would change about this, outside of really liking it, was making it have a larger cereal capacity, because you can only really hold like 3/4 cup of Philos, which is what I used to test. And I mean, 3/4 cup of Philos is a bad example, because that's more than enough for
that's an afternoon
for breakfast and brunch, yeah, rolled into one. But if this was something like a Rice Krispie Treats or a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I would need sort of like the double wide big gulp crunch cup if I were to get through the average day.
I personally kind of like the journey that you go on with cereal, starting with like extremely crunchy and then eventually devolving into a sugary, milky, mushy mess.
Yeah, it is good to watch sort of the rise and fall and enjoy the highs and lows of every moment. But if you really want that even solution, if you're the type of person who would dip their each spoonful of cereal into the milk and then eat it, this is the solution for you.
I gotta admit, this new cereal down here, I had never heard of this before, so I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah, it kind of just squeaked onto shelves. that pun was not intended, but it's Toy Story 4 Carnival Berry Cereal. I tried this one for the first time today, and I don't mean to be hard on any cereals in general, much less the licensed cereals, which already get a bad rap, but this has got to be the bottom of the barrel for me on 2019.
Really?
If you remember the Catacorn cereal that we talked about not too long ago, which was itself really just the Peep cereal with a drop of a not great fruit flavor, this is somehow even more diluted than that. It's very airy. It's very vaporous. It just sort of enters your mouth and, I don't know, it comes out as a sense of malaise or perhaps depression in a sense. You know what?
You know, I have to point out also, I'm looking at this on the Walmart.com homepage, and if you want to sample this cereal, I hope you're ready to buy 17.9 ounces of it, because you're getting 1 pound and 2 ounces of this bad boy if you want to try a single solitary bite.
Yeah, much like an unnecessary sequel, this one just sort of exudes bad vibes and dark clouds, so from your resident sort of cereal calming experts, you gotta stay far away from this one.
That is so depressing. Anytime there's a berry cereal, I always harbor a small hope that it'll be a recreation of Smurf Berry Crunch. So, you know, I'm gonna hold out hope. I'll keep my fingers crossed, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in the third segment of the show, we like to have a loose conversation about a topic. We are going to do that this episode, and then I think maybe Dan, we close out with our listener interaction portion. I think that might be
that works.
The way to go here. You suggested, and this is I love the name of this, Cereal in the Spotlight, and I think if I'm sort of understanding this correctly, times where we've seen cereal, you know, cereal in the media, how cereal is portrayed in mass media, is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you see, like, a retro box on, like, the shelf in a movie, or there's, like, you know, a famous mention of cereal in sort of our cultural ethos and cereal mythos, I think it's appropriate to sort of bring those up into the spotlight in a segment like this.
The one that always gets me, or the first one at least to spring to mind, is in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He has this breakfast machine, and one of the last things that this breakfast machine does is upturns a box of Mr. T cereal onto his plate, and it's such a concrete memory of mine because, for starters, it looks amazing. I mean, it looks so good, and I remember that being a very nice Captain Crunchy sort of brown butter flavor with the Mr. T cereal, and it always sticks with me because he eats one piece of it and then moves on with his day, and it's hysterical. It's a great gag, but it always made me so sad to leave all that Mr. T cereal on the plate.
You know, I don't think much about Mr. T cereal, but considering it right now, I think it's a miracle that it existed, because it'll forever be called the best cereal based on a consonant, so Special K can never have that title.
Gosh, what about you? What's your cereal memory?
So mine's a little bit cheating, because this is what I was thinking of when I wanted to talk about this this segment, and it's Chex Quest. The entire existence of Chex Quest. This is the game that started my obsession with cereal. It was mailed away in boxes of Chex cereal back in the late 90s, and I don't know if anybody saw it this past week, but Chex Quest made sort of a big comeback in an unexpected way, and that General Mills randomly sort of launched a new website for Chex Quest where you can download the game and also watch a mini documentary about the production of the game. And they're now sort of totally endorsing this Chex Quest HD remake that's coming out and being worked on. And they said there's bigger things for Chex Quest in the future. So if you are a fan of this game, it's a Doom mod made unviolent and suitable for kids to zap aliens. I think we can all join together in this very specific kind of solidarity of people who, in their younger days, spent them playing cereal box games, of all the things a child could do. I think that really, it really sets you on a life track and timeline that gets you to where I am today.
I cannot believe that in this, the year of our Lord, 2019, there is a very 90s looking website where you can download a Doom wand officially endorsed by General Mills.
I hope there's action figures that come out of this at the very least. And not Funko Pops, please.
Wow. We asked you all in our last episode to let us know your celebration cereals. What cereal do you turn to when it's time for a good time? I'm going to play a few of those for you right now. We'll come back after these three and close out the show.
Hi, my name is Andrew, and my celebration cereal is Golden Grahams. And not even pouring a whole bowl of it, but just reaching in and taking a couple of the pieces that have been stuck together by honey or whatever it is, and eating a few of those. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Julia in Sacramento, and my favorite celebration cereals are Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Raisin Nut Bran.
You guys haven't talked much about hot cereal yet, but Malt-O-Meal. Chocolate Malt-O-Meal is my favorite comfort cereal and celebration cereal.
I love this, and I love how everyone sort of instinctively knows that they need to to bring a peaceful energy to their voicemails. So I love that. Thank you to everybody who sent those in. I have a suggestion for next week, what I'd love to hear from you all. And that length there, that 10 to 20 second length of a voicemail, I think is perfect. If you need a little longer, that's fine too. But I would love to hear your earliest cereal memory. What's sort of the first cereal memory that you remember forming? And Dan, you know what? I'll ask you before we leave. What's your celebration cereal?
So I know we answered this last time, and I think I impulsively in the moment said powdered donuts, but after listening to everybody's answers, I think the reason that I selected these three as some of the ones is that they all make really convincing arguments of things that are better than powdered donuts in my mind, because that feels like a really, you know, more primal cereal, the donuts, that you really, if you just need to get some of your id out, that you just dig in and sort of get it all over your hands. But the Golden Grahams is absolutely like the calming grandmother of a cereal. It's not too much. It's always underrated.
What a flavor. I mean, just what a delicious, it's just a delicious flavor. I mean, it's unbeatable.
It's the Mr. Rogers. You can't hate Golden Grahams. It really teaches you more about yourself.
They keep trying to chunk it into these different cereals to different degrees of success. You know, sometimes it comes out really nicely. Other times, like in Drumsticks, it's like, can I just... I honestly... maybe we'll talk about Drumsticks in the last episode. I had a box of them, and I dumped some of... I was so unimpressed. I dumped some of them in my cereal leaving snack mix. But I wanted to just go through and pick out all the Golden Grahams and just eat a bowl of Golden
Grahams.
They're delicious.
You don't see them mixing Teddy Grahams with marshmallows. It's because they don't need it.
I would eat what you just described. Sounds absolutely incredible. thank you so much for listening to our show. If you would like to support us, that would just be... so cool of you. You go to bowl.rest and you can pledge, you know, 99 cents all the way up to, I think, $9.99 to help support our show, $9.99 a month. And half the proceeds from that will go to help keep Seriously running, and half the proceeds go to a local food bank here in Huntington, West Virginia. So that is... hope you can do that. Otherwise, if you would like to support the show, a great way is to just leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. I should mention, by the way, bowl.rest is also where you want to go if you want to send us a voice message. There's an interface right there on the website where you can send a voice message.
And if you want to send us email as well, you can hit us at mail@bowl.rest. I do love reading all the things that people send to us. We get some pretty great stuff, so thank you.
I also want to say, because I often forget to, The music that you hear in the empty bowl is called "The Sun Is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow." It's by Chris Zabriskie. It's used under a Creative Commons license, but you can find it on YouTube if you want to hear the whole track. It is very chill. That is going to do it for us for this week. A reminder, there's a lot more content for you on Serialistly.net, or you can follow at, is it just at Serialistly.net? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And I also tried to reach out to the guy who has the at Serialistly account. I found him on Facebook, but he never saw it, so.
Well, can't blame us for trying. Folks, that's going to do it for us this week. So until next time, for Danga Bear, my name is Justin McElroy. As always, don't forget to drink the milk.
To drink the milk.
Milk. Milk. Get it. I'm going to get it one of these days.